Always feels good to be able to put the work behind you and head into a sports weekend. Doing it with the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Caleb Hatch. Big hour up until 6 o'clock. Plenty of things to talk about, including the Cubs implosion. It's time to start watching some of the favorite Cubs over the last year, 2 years, 3 years, maybe even the last five or six start to get dealt, because I think that when you look at it, the Cubs are sellers at the trade deadline. We debated whether or not the Cubs would finally come to the conclusion that they needed to compete for the divisional title or they had to sell. Well, they are, I believe, going to sell. Jock Peterson, the first to go. That's not necessarily a major loss to Cubs fans or the Cubs. Peterson wasn't having a great year, but he's the first domino to fall and maybe the sign of what's to come. Of course, all the talk at the All-Star game, quite a bit of it, circulated around Chris Bryant. And where will his destination be? Chris Bryant, the most popular name, I guess, circulating around the Cubs as far as trade value and what he can do to help a contender. And they even tried to talk to Chris Bryant about it while he was playing and was mic'd up. And apparently Chris Bryant's dad was not too happy about the fact that they brought up the trade or the trade rumors while Chris Bryant was playing. But I got to think that Chris Bryant is being talked about right now and offers are being taken over the phone with the Chicago Cubs. Other guys that I wouldn't be surprised if the Cubs deal off, Craig Kimbrell, Kyle Hendricks, would he be a guy that they would get rid of? Would they give up their ace? I'm not sure about Hendricks. Wilson Contreras, I think they would give up Contreras. I think they would give up Zach Davies. The only two guys that I would be surprised if they traded them was Anthony Rizzo and Javier Baez. But I'm not sure if you're a Cubs fan, if you should be shocked at anybody being traded right now, because it's clear that for Ricketts and the ownership group, that it is about stabilizing finances to basically make money off the Chicago Cubs. And you can't do it while you're paying some of these salaries or even salaries to come. And so it's time to unload some of these guys. And that's why you hear the talk about a Chris Bryant, and you see the trade being made by Jock Peterson. I know, Caleb, this is breaking your heart as a big Cubs fan.
I'm like, where are you going with this?
I know. Well, it's funny because it's kind of become the side story of our show during the summer, is that you absolutely despise the Cubs. And I don't know where the hatred came from, because we have a lot of Cubs fans here in Fort Wayne. I can't believe you're not influenced. In fact, there's a lot of Cubs fans even in the Indianapolis area.
Yeah, no, it goes back to 2003. I'd like to thank Luis Castillo, Juan Pierre, the 2003 Florida Marlins, for their support and leading me to that decision all the way back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you don't pick a favorite team. You just pick the team you hate the most. And this goes really deep.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember mocking Cubs fans at school back in 03, you know, in the Bartman series, you know, like it goes back that far.
46862, your Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Questions, comments, or suggestions for the show, 46862. Last night, COVID has reared its ugly head once again, and it postponed the Red Sox-Yankees game when Yankees had six positive test results, and they are going to play tonight. They're going to get back out there and play. They were doing some further testing and some close contact tracing, but they've determined that things are good enough that they'll be able to resume playing this series. So they will play tonight after having last night's game postponed. Also, Team USA is being impacted by COVID. Bradley Beal, the latest to be removed from the team due to health and safety protocols. This follows up Jeremy Grant, who still might be able to make it with the team to Tokyo. But Kevin Love also has had to leave the team due to a minor calf issue that he thought he was going to be able to play through. But apparently it's been too much of an issue for him. And so he's decided to step aside and allow Team USA to fill his spot on the roster. He said it was a very difficult decision for him, but he really can't help the team because this calf injury is just something that will not go away. And so they bring in the power guys. They go out and they bring in the well-known name, Keldon Johnson from the San Antonio Spurs. Caleb, you could have put this guy's name on a list and say, pick out the NBA player. I would not have known Keldon Johnson is even in the NBA, let alone one of the players that's worthy of being on Team USA basketball.
So I've heard his name before, and I'm going to look up who he is, but I've heard his name before, but I'm not as concerned about that one. He apparently plays for the Spurs. Okay, he played for the Kentucky Wildcats. He's only 21. Wow, he's pretty young. It's the other choice that has me completely
well,
miffed.
This is probably the replacement for Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Because they go to a big, JaVale McGee.
Woof. I mean,
he's kind of everybody's fill-in big man. I mean,
yeah.
Because wasn't he kind of the fill-in big man when the Warriors needed somebody? And then what did he do, go to the Lakers?
Uh-huh.
When they had a roster
LeBron.
Spot and
yeah,
needed a big man.
That was entertaining. He is a three-time NBA champion, but I don't understand what they are doing here. And I mentioned earlier this week that because it goes back to 2020, the 16-year curse, like, I'm at the point where not only is this team not going to win gold, like, I'm starting to wonder if they're even going to medal with the players, because Bradley Beal out. You have Devin Booker coming in off the finals, and then also Chris Middleton off the finals. And I mean, that's a quick turnaround. You're not going to get much rest after a deep playoff run. You throw in a journeyman center as a replacement for Kevin Love, who never should have been on the team in the first place. And then Keldon Johnson, who people are like, who? I mean, people don't even know who he is. I had heard of the guy, but I knew from Kentucky.
I don't know who he is.
I didn't know that he was in the NBA.
I don't remember him at Kentucky. And Kentucky has a lot of talent that flows through a very short time, but I don't remember him.
So this says a lot. And the players are in a tough situation. One, think about the last year and the bubble, and they're going back into a bubble in Tokyo. That's not fun. I mean, that sucks. You're not going to get to really experience the Olympics, you know, like everyone did back in 16. You had a lot of stars opt out also because of the pandemic and just, you know, the travel, and they just want to relax in the off season. The quick turnaround in the NBA season between last fall and now this winter, and then running deep into July. And then also, if they don't win the gold, everyone's upset. If you win the gold, everyone's like, well, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. Of course you won gold.
So the only thing you can do is fail.
Yeah. I mean, think about it, though. We've reached the point where
we take it for granted.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, the U.S., this should not be close, and they blew out Argentina the other night after two terrible exhibition outings. But, I mean, they should be blowing these teams out consistently. I mean, I understand they don't have LeBron or Steph or Kevin Durant or James Harden. You know, those guys, or no, they do have Kevin Durant. My apologies,
yes.
But they don't have James Harden. But it doesn't matter. They still have so many talented players, and they're going to add two really talented players who are playing the finals. But like you said, the only thing they can do is fail here.
But they're all guys that are used to playing isolation, being the go-to, having the ball. I mean, it's just not a cohesive team. And that's the problem, is you've got a very short time to bring these guys together and in a couple of weeks turn them into some type of cohesive unit. And that's what these other countries have been able to do, bring players in that play together, that know the style, and they seem to be much more successful. So, bold though, no medal. Is that your official final prediction? Is that your final answer, Caleb?
No, my final answer is no gold medal.
Okay.
Now, I think they'll probably pick up like the bronze or something, but it's just they don't have the talent level that they've had in years past. And there are a lot of circumstances that I outlined.
On paper,
as the
they're
reason
still
why.
The most talented team, though.
But
I
yes,
think. I mean,
exactly.
They have the most highly talented players, but again, it's the cohesiveness and it's a proof that team can beat individuals. We'll see what happens. But JaVale McGee.
Someone just texted in, think about the dream team. Big time players these days are weak. Jordan/Bird. Those guys didn't take nights off. I like these players these days, and they didn't opt out of the Olympics. So, I mean, back then, you wanted to be on the team because it was new. You weren't allowed to do that before. But over time, it becomes less impressive. And it took 2004 to happen for everything to get fixed in 2008. And unfortunately, I feel like it's going to take 2020, essentially.
The dream team was something historic, to be part of history, to be part of a novelty. Now the novelty has kind of worn off.
Correct.
And we all know, and I don't mean to be political when I say this, but patriotism may not be at an all-time high.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, I will go no further in there because I'm not going to make this a big, long editorial. But I think there's just, it's just a different world we live in today. Now, the one thing that is the constant in both those situations is that the impact of COVID. And I think people need to realize, because everybody kind of figures, well, no mass, no, you know, we're good, is that I looked up the numbers here in Allen County, and we were at a low when we were into mid to late June. We were at a low, only having 7 or 8 cases in some days. But then all of a sudden, over the last couple of weeks, the numbers doubled 1 week after the next, and then the next week it doubled again. So you go from having like 60 in a week to having now 250 to 300 this week. Do you know we actually are having more COVID cases right now this week, this summer, than we had 1 year ago? And a year ago, we had to wear masks everywhere. I mean, it was like a totally different world. And they count on the vaccinations to be able to be our saving grace this year. And yet, you don't have a real high percentage of vaccinated people, not high enough. And then they give the mask the option that if you're not vaccinated, you should wear a mask. Well, the people who aren't vaccinated are the ones that don't think we should have been wearing a mask to begin with. So it doesn't make any sense. But the reality is COVID is out there. It is spreading. And if the numbers are what they are right now, there are probably a lot more people that actually have COVID, because the vaccinated people will test positive even though they may not be symptomatic, and they could become part of the spread. It's just, I'm not going to be surprised if we see numbers that continue to rise and you start to have those types of discussions again when we get into the fall about fans and attendance and whether or not, you know, they need to have masks at these college universities. Because right now, the vaccine never got to a point with a percentage where it's going to stop this thing. And it's kind of taking advantage of its opportunity right now, and numbers are going up. 46862. And a lot of people will debate that and say, yeah, but no one's dying. Well, the people that get vaccine, that's true. They're not going to the hospital. They are not dying. And that's the science of it, is that people are protected and their bodies are handling the virus in a much different way this year than they did last year. Once they have the vaccine. But it doesn't mean you don't spread it to those that don't have the vaccine and that they could become very, very sick. Taking a look at the U.S. Open. I did it again. I can't say Open Championship without starting it with U.S. Open Championship. It's the Open Championship. It's the British Open. Now I know why they called it the British Open. It's just so much easier to not get confused. Louis, my man, Louis Oosthuizen, after shooting a 64 in round one, he followed it up with another 65 today. He is 2 shots clear of the field. Colin Morikawa is the closest competitor, 2 shots back. Oosthuizen is minus 11, Morikawa minus 9. Jordan Spieth had a 67 today. He is now 8 under par, making a little bit of a move. Dustin Johnson has gotten himself into the conversation. He's at 7 under par. Other names, John Rahm had a 64 today after a 71 yesterday, but he still got a lot of hill to climb. He is at minus 5, and Brooks Koepka shot a 66 today to get to minus 5. So a lot of leaders and a lot of European golfers kind of mixed in there with the leaderboard at the Open Championship. 46862 is the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Questions, comments, suggestions, let us know what's on your mind at 46862. We'll take a timeout. We're going to come back. We'll talk about Landon Livingston. He joined the show in the first hour. He made his college choice. If you missed that, we'll tell you what it is. And we'll talk weekend's best, including the Milwaukee Bucks going out to Phoenix for Game 5. What do we expect? We'll talk about that before we wrap up. It's a Sports Rush on a Friday on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. We are back on the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. Brett Rump with Caleb Hatch. Appreciate so many of you texting in this afternoon as we finish up our work week, head into a sports weekend. Yeah, I go back to this text we got earlier that we are both out of our mind, Caleb, especially the sidekick. That would be you thinking that Memphis is going to trade Ja Morant, which was never a point you made. What you said was if a deal was to happen between Memphis and Portland, you didn't think it could happen unless Ja Morant was part of the deal. But you didn't say that Memphis would be motivated to make that deal. In fact, I jumped in and said, Memphis will never trade Ja Morant. That won't happen. You don't get 11 years older just to get a veteran presence into your locker room. My point was Ja Morant is perhaps the leader of that group. And at 21, 22 years old, he's not the type. I mean, Devin Booker kind of had that role in Phoenix a year ago. But you see the difference that Chris Paul has made since Phoenix has brought him in. Having a veteran, having somebody that kind of takes over the locker room. That's what I was saying about Memphis. Great collection of young talent. They've done a terrific job through the draft, acquiring players, but they don't have that one thing that Phoenix has or that other teams have, and that is the true leader of the locker room, a veteran that everybody can connect with. But he went on to say that... it was painful to listen to. There's another Indiana player that also plays with Conchar, Sean McDermott from Butler. Although the reason we didn't bring him up in this trade is his contract expired at the end of the season. But we did learn that his brother at Ball State just got drafted by the Astros. And apparently we were supposed to include him in our area players that have been drafted. And when we talk about our area, Muncie and the suburbs of Indianapolis outside the Anderson area where the McDermotts are from is not our area. We talked to, who'd we talk to? We talked to Garrett Shanley, Northrop. Okay, that's our area. Hayden Jones went to Carroll. Our area. We weren't just seeking people that got traded or got drafted. I'm sorry. 46862. Some comments about Team USA. Got some comments about the Cubs. Cubs ownership should never spend money because they'll sell out the world's largest, most expensive bar every game, regardless. 46862. Any questions, comments, or suggestions? Go ahead and fire away. Don't forget, coming up tonight, we got TinCast Baseball. They continued their road trip playing the West Michigan Whitecaps at 7:05. We've got all your action at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM, starting with the Hoopy Insurance Services pregame show at 6:45, and then more TinCast Baseball over the weekend. They will play tomorrow night again at 7:05, and then Sunday, it's an odd time for a ball game. I don't know if there's fireworks after or what the story is, but West Michigan's going to wrap up the series with the Tin Caps with a 6:05 Sunday start. That will be a 5:45 pregame that will follow White Sox baseball Sunday afternoon. Of course, we gave away tickets to go see that game, so we've got a listener that's actually going to be attending that game on Sunday at Guaranteed Rate Field, and that's a big series. Starts tonight in Chicago with the White Sox and Astros, and you'll be able to hear the game joined in progress tonight after Tin Caps Baseball. Coming up tomorrow here on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM, it's the Lakes Region 200 at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. Please mark it down on your calendar. It starts at 2:30. Tin Caps at West Michigan tomorrow night. What are you laughing at? I don't know. Caleb, I do not even know what that race is. Okay. You know, I'm not a racing guy.
I know. I just sensed a lot of sarcasm in that read.
Well, it's just because it's a long title. The Lakes Region 200 at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. First of all, it's only 200 miles. Secondly, it's in New Hampshire. And I'm thinking, okay, this doesn't sound like a big race, but for those of you that are NASCAR fans, you won't want to miss it.
Xfinity Series? Does it say Xfinity?
No, it says NASCAR.
When is it?
NXS. Maybe that's what that is.
Oh, that is NASCAR Xfinity Series. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah, NX.
There you go.
NXS. Yes, yeah. I should have noticed that. In parentheses, so I just figured that was something I wasn't supposed to say on the air.
NCWTS, NASCAR Camping World Truck Series.
Oh, brother. Okay, thanks for the lesson, Caleb. The way I feel about auto racing is just a little above how you feel about the Cubs.
Hey, they're doing more than just turning left and driving fast. That's all I'll say. They're athletes.
For their athletes. Should we start on whether auto racing is a sport or if it's a competition?
Oh, don't even get me started with
46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. I think I'm opening a can of worms with Caleb. It's too late in the show. We should start that segment at like 4:05 and just let it carry us for 2 hours, because I have a feeling you would have something to say about it if we did start that topic. By the way, do you catch America's Got Talent? I love this show. I love to see some of these acts. I enjoy it more once they filter out some of the bad acts, and I watch more of the top 10 or top 12 or the live shows or whatever they call it. So I don't usually watch a lot of the shows early in the summer, but I do pick it up as it goes along. But you know who was a contestant on America's Got Talent this week?
No.
Michael Winslow.
Why do I know that name?
Do you know the name?
It sounds familiar.
I thought that name would be right there with, the guy from the All-Star game, Keldon Johnson. I thought it'd be...
On Team USA, yeah.
Yeah, Keldon Johnson on Team USA. No, Michael Winslow, and everybody will know who he is once I tell you. He was the character in, I believe it was Police Academy, and Spaceballs, that did the noises, the sounds. He's the sound effects guy, can do it with his own voice.
I love the movie Spaceballs. So funny.
Yeah. And so he does all the sounds, all those different noises. And he was on America's Got Talent doing an entire bit just doing that. And it's a little out of tradition for America's Got Talent to have an established star that comes on the show. But the fact that he's never done this talent on stage as a solo performer, they allowed for it to happen. He also took a big break away from Hollywood and spent time raising his kids. And so he is back, and it was pretty good. It was good. In fact, he got four yeses. He's advanced to the next round. 46862, if you've got questions, comments, or suggestions, we take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the weekend's best that's ahead. It's a Friday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. We've been talking today about Damian Lillard and whether it's true or not true that Damian Lillard is going to formally request a trade from the Portland Trailblazers. Of course, if you believe the early reports that came out today, then he will be seeking a trade from Portland. But if you believe the rebuttals that have come out from the Portland Oregonian and even from Damian Lillard himself, who spoke after Team USA practice today and said, not true. But we talked about this earlier in the program, Caleb. What other choice does he have but to deny the report? He can't come out and say, yes, it's true, I'm asking for a trade, if he doesn't want Portland to know. If he wants to give the respect to the organization and tell them face-to-face or have a discussion with them, he doesn't want it coming out in the media. So I'm not sure where it leaked or how it leaked, but the idea, I guess, is he has no choice, or the answer is that he has no choice. When he is confronted with the question, he almost has to deny it. But the only thing is, it puts him in an awkward position now, because if he is going to formally ask for a trade and he's already publicly come out and denied that he's doing it, it's almost a Paul George situation. Well, he said he was going to stay, and then he turns around and stabs us in the back. Why didn't he tell us when they asked him? Well, I just don't feel like that's a position that he wanted to be in. And the only answer you can give is it's not true. So I don't know if we learned anything by what we've had reported this afternoon, other than the fact that we still don't know. But it would make sense if Portland's looking to have some kind of an option to perhaps revitalize the roster, if that's the best thing, the best word to use. I think it needs a revitalization because you've got guys like Carmelo and Damian Lillard. I mean, you need to get younger. You need to build with more youth. And it's not a deep team either. I mean, that was a team that played primarily with, what, a seven-man rotation. So I think it would make sense for Portland if they were to seek a trade. I don't know if the Pacers could ever be a player in this. I think they've got the assets, but I'm not sure what leverage Damian Lillard would have as far as where he goes. And I think the Pacers are going to be competing with teams that will give up pretty good assets. Of course, everybody talks about Philadelphia because they've got Ben Simmons, and it would make sense to swap Simmons and Lillard, maybe a couple of extra picks or a player. But I'll tell you, the team that concerns me is being in the Eastern Conference. If you're a Pacers fan, what about Milwaukee? Would they give up Chris Middleton and maybe a couple of other pieces to put Damian Lillard with Giannis? To me, that's like the perfect complement, to have a guy like Lillard playing with Giannis. And, you know, obviously they've not been talked about. No one's mentioned them, but I'm thinking Milwaukee's been bold in making moves. And if Milwaukee wins a championship, would they be as bold as they have been in getting to this point? But to me, if I'm Milwaukee, I would make that deal. I would give up Middleton and maybe one other piece. And I don't know how strong that piece needs to be, if I had a chance to bring Damian Lillard in during the prime of Giannis Antetokounmpo's years in Milwaukee. And I also think it's kind of a reward to Giannis to say, hey, this is for staying here. This is for committing to us. We're bringing you one of the top 10 players in the league. And I don't think you can argue that Lillard would be in almost everybody's top 10, top 15 at worst, but perhaps a lot of people's top 10. And it would make tremendous sense for Milwaukee to find a way, and I think they've got the perfect piece with Chris Middleton and the way he's performed in these playoffs, because he's upped his stock, he's raised his value. He's never had a higher value than what he has right now based on the way he's played.
That's a good point. I guess if I'm Milwaukee, though, you have something good going, and even if they don't win the finals, like,
you're not risking a cancer in the clubhouse, though. I mean, Lillard, by all accounts, has been a terrific teammate in Portland. Yeah. He's been great for the community. I don't think he's a disruptor. Now, if you're going to worry about chemistry and all that, I don't know if you have as much of those concerns with Lillard as you might with other star players.
I think with Lillard, it's just the reality is he goes to New York or LA, or, you know, it's the NBA.
Does he have the call here, though? How much leverage does he have to say, here's the two or three teams I'm willing to go to?
I think Portland would be willing to help him with that, because when a player has done everything for an organization and they're not throwing up a big fuss, as he has at least to this point not done, I think they would be accommodating.
We'll see. The thing is, you have to have a dance partner. You can't just say, I want to go to the Lakers if the Lakers aren't interested. But I think the Lakers would be interested. Now the question becomes, what would the Clippers do? What would Steve Ballmer be willing to do to get Damian Lillard? Would Paul George be the guy that goes on his way? Would Kawhi Leonard be the guy that goes on his way? If you're the Clippers and Portland called up and said, we'll make a straight switch. You give us Kawhi, we give you Damian Lillard. Do both teams win? Do both teams come out of that okay? It's a dynamic switch, basically. But You're trading talent for talent. The only thing Kawhi has is he's got the rings.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, McCollum is a number two guy, but the thing is, Kawhi has played with the Spurs, like it's at the time an elite organization. And then with the Clippers, he's had Paul George. So he's always had either great veteran presences around him or another elite piece. Because Paul George is a top 20 NBA player. I don't think anyone's going to dispute that.
Whereas I mean, you do get McCollum in the Clippers, you do get a piece in Damian Lillard that probably is willing to play almost every game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where Kawhi
True.
Is on his load management schedule.
You don't have to worry about that with Lillard. I think with Lillard, I mean, he's always been the guy by default. I mean, they had a brief run where they had him, McCollum, and then LaMarcus Aldridge, and then he had injuries that derailed his career, unfortunately. But Aldridge was a great player with the Spurs before he went to Portland.
46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862, your chance to weigh in. All right, so it's Milwaukee Phoenix, game five coming up tomorrow night. The pivotal game of the series. That's a word you don't hear thrown around very often. Pivotal. So, Caleb, here we go. Milwaukee's obviously got the momentum, but I think you have to remember, in game four, Phoenix owned that game for three quarters plus. It was the frantic rally in the fourth quarter by the Bucks, using the momentum and energy produced by that insane crowd in Milwaukee. And I just feel like this is going to be Phoenix. It's going to be Phoenix from the get-go. I think Phoenix rolls. I've been wrong in the NBA before, but I have been right on most of my picks for the NBA Finals. But I just think getting back home, that's the exact medicine that Phoenix needs to find their shot, to for Chris Paul to have a bounce back. I can't imagine Milwaukee going into Phoenix, stealing the win. I think Phoenix is going to ride the momentum of that crowd, and I do think it's kind of an interesting scenario that here we are in the NBA Finals in a year where fans were almost deprived the opportunity to see their favorite teams during the year. And if it may be a finals that is decided by hometown fans more than any finals we've had in recent years. That's almost how I feel, that these fans in Milwaukee and Phoenix have had a greater impact on these games than we've seen in prior years.
Yeah, I would agree, and part of it's just, I mean, it's a different environment. You go from next to nothing, like at a few thousand, to a packed arena.
Yeah.
And that changes things drastically.
Road games have just been getting used to backgrounds and lighting and things like that, where now all of a sudden you have to get used to the noise and the way the crowd reacts, and it's just totally different for these players. And you know, even though they've played plenty of times in their lives in front of big crowds, it hasn't been with these kind of stakes,
mm-hmm.
with
also
these
true.
Kind of crowds. And so I think that is what is weighing on these teams on the road, is the stakes are the highest. The performance has a smaller margin for error because of that. And the crowd is having a greater influence through it all. And I think that you're going to see the Phoenix crowd turn this series back around. And I think Phoenix will get the win in Game 5. It goes back to Milwaukee. It would not surprise me if Milwaukee would win Game 6 and everything is up for grabs in Game 7. But 4-point line right now favoring Phoenix. How do you feel about the line if you go with the 4 points? Do you give Milwaukee 4?
No, I'd take Phoenix.
You'd still take Phoenix?
Yeah.
And give the points?
Yep.
Well, you're kind of right there with me. It is tomorrow night. It's one of those 9:15 tips, right? One of those late night tips tomorrow night. But at least it's a Saturday. But tomorrow night, NBA Finals, Game 5, Milwaukee at Phoenix. We'll take a quick break. We come back. We'll tell you what Caleb is up to tonight. It's a good cause, and we'll tell you how you can catch up with Caleb and the gang from down the hall when we return to the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Earlier in the show, we had a chance to visit with TinCast broadcaster Jack McMullen. We were talking about calling games off the monitor and the fact they lost the MILB.TV feed last night. I cannot imagine a sport that's more difficult to call when you are doing it off a monitor than baseball. I would think the first the first organizations that would want their broadcasters out and in the press boxes on the field, because it is almost unfair. It's almost an unfair penalty to try to call baseball when you cannot see things like how the defensive aligns. What is the lead? Does a runner take off? Is a guy that's rounding second heading to third, is he going to be waved home? All those things are impossible to see when you're stuck with a monitor that's following the baseball out in the right field corner. I really feel for those guys having to go through that this year. I haven't had a chance to experience it and really would not look all that forward to it. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Caleb, you are out of here and heading to a good cause, a little basketball game that's taking place.
Yeah, that's right. So it starts at 6:30 at the Indiana Tech Schaefer Center. That's their gymnasium on campus here in Fort Wayne. And it benefits Special Friends of Fort Wayne. And it is a way to raise money for their basketball team. So we're playing against the Raiders, which is like the area basketball team. We've done this for several years. It's a really fun time. I believe they're asking for like a $5 donation at the door. They're going to have, I think, a raffle, a bake sale, some other things going on, a free throw shooting contest at halftime. So it's a really fun event. I look forward to it every year.
I don't know what you look forward to, because we've got,
yeah, we always lose.
I mean, it's like we get dusted every year,
but it's
one
fun.
Time we loaded the team
and still lost
Yeah, I mean, we went in with Ron Howard, we went out and got Mr. Mad Ant and lost. That just tells you how bad we are. We couldn't even, Ron Howard couldn't even help us win a game. We were so bad.
I mean, I'm not good at basketball, but I'll probably be expected to do a lot because our numbers on our team are very high.
No. And we've got some people that are vertically challenged.
Yes. Also that. Good call.
And follically challenged.
I'm probably the tallest person on the team, and I'm 5'11". So I think that's,
and you've got good
that's
hair.
Not saying much.
And you've got good hair.
Yeah.
Well, the game takes place at the Schaefer Center. That's on the north side of the campus. Is that Washington or Jefferson?
Washington.
That's Washington?
Yep.
Because you can take Anthony and then turn onto Washington, and it's right there off the side of the road.
Correct. Yeah, you just make a left turn on from Anthony to Washington, and then another left turn from Washington.
Well, it depends
onto
what way you're going.
Well,
we better be clear.
True.
You turn west onto Washington.
Yes.
And then you'll go past just a couple of buildings, and then it's right there on your left side. So it's easy to find if you've got some time tonight. Starts at 6:30, so still time to get out there for the beginning of the festivities. And as we said, it's a fundraiser for a good cause. So get out and enjoy some basketball. We also are going to have a neat little announcement coming up, Caleb. I believe it is going to be on Monday. We're going to make an announcement on this show about a special promotional opportunity that you're going to have. And all I can say at this point, it has something to do with Tin Caps Baseball.
Really looking forward to this.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
We're trying to tease this and build the excitement. It is something to look very forward to. I will say that. It's going to be a lot of fun. But we have to tell you about it on Monday. We can't tell you about it yet today. But we'll have the announcement Monday on the show between 4 and 6. That's it for us for this week of the Sports Rush. Thanks to our guests that appeared on the show today, including Landon Livingston, Leo High School offensive lineman, and Jack McMullen, Tin Caps broadcaster. Don't forget, Tin Caps take on West Michigan tonight. It's game time, 7:05. 6:45 will be the pregame show, and all the action can be heard here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Caleb is doing his stretches. He is ready to go. That will do it for us. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the sports weekend. This is 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.